And follow along with us this morning as we continue talking about the great Beatitudes. And what a great place to start with Blessed Are the Peacemakers. Glad to have you along this morning, and we certainly appreciate your listenership. It's pretty obvious that without you, we are nothing. So we thank you very much for tuning in on a regular basis and listening in and telling others. We are, you know, certainly thankful that you have told others, and we know that there's all kinds of IP addresses that continually pop up here in the system, showing us, you know, that there are listeners in countries all around the world. And, you know, we have freely admitted that occasionally TGRN has come upon by accident, but it is quite obvious by some of the repeat address locations that people are finding it deliberately, and they are depending on the Gospel Radio Network for sound Bible teaching. And so as we even seek today to handle aright the Word of God, we certainly thank our overseers for all the work they do in overseeing this great work, listening in and paying attention to all of the great men that speak here. So today, certainly we have just kind of interrupted a period of a cappella singing, which was phenomenal. But behind me, Brother Dan Don Boyd is going to follow by even Chris McElyea after that. We have archives that play throughout the day. You know, just incredible gospel preaching and teaching that goes on here. And the Telstar Archives is a beautiful thing in and of itself. And so if you have an opportunity to investigate that for yourselves, it's Tullstar, T-U-L-L-S-T-A-R .org, I believe it is. And if you're looking to research a subject, let's just say marriage, all you have to do is type in the search bar, marriage, and then hit enter, and everything in the archive there that is that has to do with marriage will pop up, and then you can make your selections accordingly. Maybe you want to hear a particular speaker. If, say, you wanted to hear David Baker, who has passed on to his great reward, he and his wife both. But if you want to hear one of his great lessons, all you can do is just go into that same search bar and type in David Baker. And notice the phenomenal list of things that pop up that he has saved here on the Tullstar Archives. So that's a great tool in and of itself. And those are the archives that continually play. It's, I guess what they call technically, it's like a shuffle. And so it's set to shuffle and all day long. You know, after about 12:30, 1 o'clock, I guess it is, depending on the day, that shuffle plays all day long. And so in between those lessons, the program will spit out some singing in between those. So what a phenomenal network this is. And so we appreciate those that work behind the scenes and make it work so very well. With us today, certainly on the line, is my beautiful wife, and so glad to have her with us listening. She's my greatest cheerleader, and she hadn't been feeling well, so y'all pray for her that she would feel a little bit better as the days progress. She went to the doctor yesterday and received some medicine, so hopefully she'll begin to feel a little better. I know she's sick and tired of being tired and sick, so love you very much. Thank you for listening, baby. And see you this evening. Also, we've got many others that listen on the various coasts. I know way up yonder in South Dakota, the McClures listen on a regular basis. And so we love Sandy and Mike and appreciate their godly family and what they're doing in the kingdom. So thank you all for listening. Go out to the East Coast, and we find our good brethren out there, even at the Abingdon Church of Christ there on I-81. In Abingdon, Virginia, and our good brothers in Christ, our fellow yoke fellows out there, the Hockets, And so we appreciate them listening. This is Jeff's beginning to his three-day weekend, as we always remind ourselves. He's certainly blessed in his job to have a beautiful weekend like that, a great four-day schedule. But anyway, glad to have you all along. We know there's listeners out there in California, Brother Omari French out there in the San Fran area. Appreciate all the work that he does in the kingdom, even certainly contending for the faith down here in Texas again. We, you know, go down to the southwest side and we find the Smithies down there. I saw his name pop up here a minute ago with the Dropbox that he's always working. He's always working. That guy is a tireless servant of God. So the Smithies are listening. Miss Frida tunes in on a regular basis, and so glad to have her along. We've got all kinds of members here that listen on a regular basis. They understand that Mornings for the Master is the flagship program here on the network, and so we're glad to have y'all tuning in today. If you're one of our first responders, we always salute you with one of those big hee-haw, well, I'm dating myself, but those hee-haw salutes. Salute! Appreciate what y'all do to keep us safe. And even the guys that are up and coming, the Kaysons and the Colbys, those guys that work so hard to, you know, kind of get broke in. Colby's going through a lot of training. He's about to be married. He's got his plate full. So we appreciate Colby and Casey and what they're doing, even as they're coming up through the ranks. And all the guys, our deacons that are first responders, love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. You know, couldn't have a network without any of you. So appreciate all y'all for listening wherever you are. And, again, if you're not driving, Kaysen's behind the wheel of an ambulance about right now, so don't you dare take your hands off the steering wheel. But if you're able, then reach over and join in with the chat window. The chat window runs on a regular basis here, and so you can sign in so that people can see your name, or if you know you want to be anonymous, just put a number, then so be it. But you can continue the conversation, you know, saluting one another or talking about the program, the various texts that we're covering. So the chat window is there for you. For your benefit, and I'm not able to do two things at once, as I always say, and so I'm not in the chat window, and I'm not watching the chat window because it's very distracting to me while I'm trying to do this. I'm a one-trick pony, so y'all use the chat window. We're excited here at Mount Vernon. As the days have progressed, we have come upon tomorrow's men's breakfast. And so Brother Rose and myself have been back in the kitchen cracking eggs. And I think we've cracked over 200 eggs this morning and then blended them. And so we're ready to cook eggs first thing in the morning. And we're looking forward to that opportunity. I've been getting texts from lots of people that say that they are, you know, planning on coming. One of the elders over at North Jefferson just texted me a few minutes ago and said that he was planning on being here. And, you know, just it's going to be a great time. We have had many of these breakfasts in the days gone by. And we've had some where there's been upwards of 60 people back here, which is a good crowd. And we have actually run out of a few things. Imagine that. Got a text from one of our elders yesterday, said he just got through cooking 9 pounds of bacon. Whew, that's a lot of bacon. But it'll get eaten, that's for sure. And so anyway, we look forward to tomorrow. That's the first event that I would mention that's right around the corner. And then certainly the Lord's Day, if the Lord allows. We've got a great opportunity here to continue our Bible study class in the auditorium with the adults, which will be broadcast on TGRN as normal. And we're in Revelation chapter 1 doing that study. And then Preston McElyea is going to have the sermon for that particular worship hour. So Sunday's looking really good. We've got the jail ministry coming up that evening. Chris McElyea is going to be teaching down at the South Tilla Church of Christ, just right around the corner. It's a phenomenal day. We always look forward to the Lord's Day. So lots going on there. I can't say enough about all the great works that are going on around us. Also, we received a notice about the Edgewood congregation that is going to invite Ed Stover in to hold a gospel meeting for them, and that's October the 3rd through the 6th. And so those times are the regular assembly times on Sunday, which are 9:30 and 10:30. They're going to have a lunch that day at 12, and then they're going to regather again at about 1:30, and Ed will have yet another lesson that day. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, respectively, at 7 o'clock, they will be meeting there in Edgewood to listen to Brother Ed Stover preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we'll continue to mention that in case you didn't get some of those details. We'll continue to mention that. Or you can just call them there at the Edgewood Church, and they've left a number. If you have a pencil and you desire to write that down, their number is, of course, 903-896-1420. That's 896-1420. So if you can go, if you need directions, if you want to know a little bit more about Ed or whatever, use that number to contact them. And again, if you missed it, if you didn't have a pencil, if you were driving or whatever, then call us here at the building, and we'd be glad to help you with that. You can get us online through mornings@tgrn.org. We'd be glad to help you with those programming notes. And if you have an event yourself, you know, your congregation is promoting a ladies' day or a gospel singing or a meeting or something, let us know. Let us know, and we'll be glad to promote that activity for you. One last note that I have, I don't actually have a flyer yet, but our brother Preston has finally, has finalized the arrangements for our men's retreat at Camp Ida. And so that, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's November 11 through 13. I'll get a flyer for next week, Lord willing, and be able to quote that for sure. But we announced here the other night that the cost is going to be $25 per man. So if you can make it, if you're planning on taking a day or two off from work because it begins on Thursday, if you're making those plans, please let us know as soon as you can, because again, we need to know how many hamburgers to cook, how much bacon to cook. You know, we need to know about food supplies. And so RSVP as soon as you can about that men's retreat at Camp Ida, again, November the 11th through the 13th. And so we'd be glad to have you again. Call here. The office number is 903-537-4129. Anthea will answer the phone and take your reservation, and we'll get you started on that. So thank you for that. Also, we are continuing to bang the drum for prayers for Deanna De Leon. Deanna is this young lady who has been involved in a horrible car accident, lost her husband, and is going through a vigorous, rigorous rehab. And so Tammy Hudson has been keeping all of us, you know, me included, in the loop. I've received a video the other day of her taking her first steps, and Tammy says, please keep praying. And then Wednesday, I got a text prior to the service hour, and it said that Deanna had actually had the opportunity to speak to her grandmother on the telephone, which, you know, that's another gigantic step, talking, forming sentences. There was a lot of head trauma. You know, she was broken from heel to crown. So anyway, continue with your prayers for Deanna De Leon, and we would certainly continue to beg of you to send cards and letters encouraging her. BCS actually sent a gigantic poster down there where it looked like the entire congregation had signed it. So anyway, that's a great work in and of itself. So we've got her address, and if you want to get in touch with us, if you need that, we'll be glad to give it to you. Again, you can call us here at the network office, and we'll be glad to give that to you. But anyway, continue to pray for her, and to God be the glory. I think that's all I've got on the bulletin board. Trying to think if I forgot anything. I'm bad about that. I'm getting old, you know. But anyway, I think one other thing that I did have, but I don't have a flyer yet. Tia has put together a great program in October. I've got it written down, but it's called HYMNS, H-Y-M-N-S, HYMNS for Him. And she's holding that event out at her place. I think there's going to be a big bonfire and you know, finger foods and all that kind of stuff, but just a gospel singing. And certainly we're going to try to pack that pasture and glorify the Lord. I'll do diligence to get that information to us on the next broadcast. Other than that, I think I've covered most everything. A lot of great things going on in the brotherhood, and so keep keep abreast of what's going on. We try to help with that. So the last thing we've got here before we get into verse number 9 in Matthew 5 is that great drink of coffee. So join me. Love that coffee. I know David Bankston's like, blech, about right now, but his precious bride, she loves the coffee. So me and Brenda, we'll drink that coffee together. How about that? Okay, so here we go on Matthew 5 and verse number 9. We began even last week getting into the great Beatitudes. Depends on what version you may be reading, but happy are, and then fill in the blank. Jesus is giving us the pattern of success. He tells us how to truly be happy. John 10, verse number 10, says that Jesus came to provide us with the abundant life. That was his purpose. Now, you take that and lay it parallel with other verses. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15, he came to save sinners. Luke 19 and verse 10, he came to seek and to save the lost. And so the abundant life has got something to do with being saved, living in a saved capacity, being the servant that we are shown in John chapter 13, the feet washers, as it were. And so he is, again, describing here, if you lay all those things next to one another, we understand that the abundant life is being described to us here. He's telling us how to live and certainly be pleasing before him, the Father, and the Spirit. And so I think maybe we began some topic last week about this, but let's just back up. Verse 9 begins, blessed, blessed, happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Here, again, it is an amazing thing to watch, but the things that we have been reading and will read, blessed are those that are persecuted, etc., they run contrary to regular, everyday, we might say, carnal thinking. And so here, blessed are the peacemakers. So those that make peace shall be the children of God. So the statement that we read here probably was a pretty good shock to the audience. As you think about the Middle East, you think about the Canaan area. I mean, just read the book of Judges, for crying out loud. Fighting, wars. You think about Saul and David, you know, Saul chasing David around. You know, you think about David and Goliath. You think about the Philistines, the great thorn in the side of God's chosen people, Israel. You know, there's wars and fightings all the time. I mean, seems like every other page includes some reference to war and fighting. So blessed are the peacemakers. It does run a little contrary to the regular thought of the day. And so, probably was a pretty good shock when it was first mentioned. Additionally, I think I can kind of reflect back to Acts chapter 1. Here's Jesus about to ascend. Here he is, 40 days beyond the resurrection. 10 more days, give or take just a little bit. And the kingdom would be here. That which he had purchased at the cross of Calvary would be taken care of. And they're still looking for a physical kingdom. They're still looking to make Jesus their physical king. The threat that was in Herod's mind, in Pilate's mind, the physical kingdom. There's a king born, Herod heard, and so he started killing babies, male babies specifically. Pilate, was told by Jesus, "My kingdom is not of this world." Still looking for a physical kingdom. But here, as we think about being the kingdom of God, we understand that this message of peace makes us to be children of peace. The peace that we're talking about, it's freedom from the guilt of sin. It's freedom from the bondage that we were once under. Romans 6 tells about that in a phenomenal way. But peace, if you just look it up in the dictionary, you grab your Webster's off the shelf, you're going to find freedom from strife. It also can mean harmony or serenity, the absence of discord, and the presence of concord. Kind of like that. And so that's the regular, everyday, on-the-shelf definition. And a lot of that is meaningful. You think about peaceful, and we think about freedom from disturbance. You turn on the news, any day of the hour, or any hour of the day, rather, and you find people quarreling about masks, quarreling about vaccinations, quarreling about the Middle East, quarreling. I mean, it's what we're good at, evidently, because that's all that you see anymore, is quarreling. Well, peace is to be not quarrelsome, free from disturbance. But when you think about God's attitude toward peace and the way that he feels, then we kind of get an insight about this particular idea of peace. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33, you probably already have this memorized, but please remember that God is not the author of confusion, but of, that's right, peace. So he's called the God of peace, certainly in Romans 15 at verse 33, not the God of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14, 33, but this great God of peace, Hebrews 13 and verse number 20, Philippians 4 and verse number 9. God hates discord, and that takes us back to Solomon's great writings by inspiration in Proverbs 6. Those that spread discord, those that sow discord or disunity, Proverbs 6, beginning at verse 16, concluding at verse 19. Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, the great Son of God. He was the Prince of Peace. He was announced this way even hundreds of years before he arrived by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 9, verse number 6. He was announced in this fashion in Luke 2 and verse 14. And certainly, as we see recorded in John 14 and verse number 27, he is the Prince of Peace. God teaches us the importance of cultivating and maintaining peace, even within the boundaries of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are told to be a peaceable people, live peaceably as much as lies within you with all men. We must be a peaceable people. So having a little bit of that tucked up under our hat, what is the peace that we're talking about here in Matthew 5 and verse 9? Well, it's the peace that we see mentioned by Paul in Romans 10 and verse number 15. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. What's he talking about? He's talking about that message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. And so the message of peace, that Jesus came to die for you so that you don't have to experience that second death. It's the peace that Jesus represents. He is peace. It's the peace which Peter had the privilege to preach himself, even by inspiration, Acts 10 and verse 36. The Bible says here, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. It's the peace that comes through justification. Again, back to the Roman epistle. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful peace, an inward peace that is provided by the divine source. It's that peace that obtains by being reconciled to God. And the way that that happens is through the blood. Revelation 1, verse number 5, those that are being described as faithful and true, they were the ones that were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's made possible through baptism, Romans 6, especially the first five or six verses there. And so, the blood of Jesus, the ability that we have to have peace, to have reconciliation, because we have been redeemed through that great propitiation, that great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So, when you think about a peacemaker, does that describe you? It better describe me, because we are children of God if we are peacemakers, not discord beginners or starters. So, even the word is a peaceful word. And you think about the peacemaker, one who produces, right? One who produces. You think about Paul, Priscilla and Aquila. You know what they were? They were, by trade, they were tent makers. Self-explanatory, isn't it? They made tents, right? Sold tents. So a peacemaker is one that produces or provides, makes, sees to it that there is peace. So it's sad the way that some people kind of go about it, I guess. Some people say, well, if I just keep my mouth shut, then everything will be fine. Well, how's that working out today? Homosexuality is running rampant. Abortions running rampant. Anti-God rhetoric running rampant. The Bible is quickly being referred to again as hate speech. So how's that working out, being a pacifist? How's that working out, just not saying anything at all, trying to keep the peace? Well, on occasion, we see Jesus doing that. You remember there in John's account, as they would bring the woman caught in the very act of adultery out and present her to Jesus. The law says that we must stone her, but what dost thou have to say? And so he stooped down and wrote on the ground, saying nothing at all. And as I have, you know, even publicly confessed, I would love to know what he wrote on the ground. Could have been a doodle. Could have been just drawing circles. He could have been writing R-E-P-E-N-T. Could have. So, obviously, we see that sometimes it's better not to answer. It's better not to answer a man according to his folly. And so, my friends, Jesus did that sometimes. As Pilate approached him, Jesus was quiet, therefore fulfilling that particular passage there of Isaiah 53. A sheep dumb before his shearers. But friends, this is not always the key to success, the key to peace. We must speak. We must teach the truth, even in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. There's the other pendulum swing as well. One who is an agitator. One who is constantly stirring up trouble. Those that are contentious brethren. That's the other side of the pendulum swing. There is a common ground right in the middle. And that's the place that we need to occupy. We don't swing too far to the left in complete peace and passivity, but we swing right in the middle of agitation and quiet. And that is preaching the gospel of peace. And so, we need to be active in producing peace. Jesus said to go into all the world and teach all creation his gospel. We are to teach, we are to baptize, we are to continue teaching in the furtherance of Matthew 18, or 28, 18 through 20. We are to continue in reading and exhortation, right? We are to continue in reproof, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We are to continue in teaching others that they may also teach. There is a way to keep peace, and that is to keep the message of peace out there. Once we shirken our responsibilities, Satan will be glad to fill the gap with his negative flow of garbage. That's the way it works. It's the picture that we show as often as possible in Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, we are shown that we are to remove all of the characteristics of the old man. We are to put that man to rest. But once you have swept the house clean, you need to fill it with that which is good. Because if we don't, then what are we going to do? We're going to fill it up with bad again. The devil is happy to occupy that space. But we have to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Same chapter at verse 16. Well, peace is something that we could talk about all day long. Those that preach the gospel, again, Romans 10, are those that are peacemakers. Blessed are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. We have to understand what our mission is. Our mission is to teach, baptize, teach. That is, spread the message of peace throughout the world. Now, understand that there are going to be different reactions. And basically, there are two. You could qualify a third one, I guess. But either we're going to be complete rejecters of the message, you know, like we saw in Acts chapter 7, when the messenger was killed. Stephen, by the way, preached much the same sermon that Peter preached just a few chapters earlier, as the Holy Spirit has recorded in Acts chapter 2. But that day in Acts chapter 2, there was both reactions as well. Yes, 3,000 obeyed the gospel. That's an amazing thing in and of itself. But given the number of people that were there, and no, I don't know, but not everybody obeyed the gospel that day. 3,000 did, but quite possibly 100,000 did not. I don't know how many people were there. But my friends, it's really a rejection, but you remember with Festus and Agrippa, both of them, almost, Agrippa said, almost you persuaded me. And Felix, well, I'll get back to you on that. If I find a convenient season, right? That's really ultimately rejection, so it doesn't really qualify as a third possibility, but it's kind of a middle of the road. I'm thinking about it, but I think the Bible shows us who Agrippa and Felix really were. Verse 10, beginning, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which are before you," or were before you. All the Beatitudes that we have mentioned, they introduce a certain characteristic, right? And ultimately, if you were to drill down, you would see these characteristics basically as meekness and humility, penitence, desire for righteousness, that is, hungering and thirsting, mercifulness, purity, and even in the last verse 9, peacemaking, peace-producing people. And so, these great characteristics, they will be rejected. And you will find yet one more characteristic, and that is those that need to be prepared to endure persecution. Endure persecution. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, that familiar passage of Revelation 2 and verse 10, you know, there's jail time coming at you, there's death coming at you. But be thou faithful unto death, just like Jesus, and the crown of righteousness is yours. That for which you have hungered and thirsted for, the crown of righteousness, it'll be yours. And so blessed are they, happy are they. Can you see Jesus at the whipping post? Maybe that explains the ability that Paul had to get up there in Lystra after he had been stoned and left for dead, realizing that he was counted worthy to be persecuted for the name of the Lord. And so he got up and went right back into the same town and went on his way. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's interesting, you know, when you lay these two verses side by side, verse 9 and then verse 10 to 12, peacemakers and then persecutors. And again, I can't help but see the vivid example of Acts chapter 7. in Acts chapter 7. The message of peace is being proclaimed by the great orator, Stephen. And what did they do but began with the persecution? You know, Paul, in the long ago, he said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" That day, they didn't want to hear it. And so the persecution and ultimately the death of the gospel preacher would come about. Persecution. Persecution for real godly saints. It's real, man. It is absolutely real. Plenty of passages in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:12, 1 Thessalonians 3, beginning at verse 3, John 16, verse 33, on and on we could go. Persecution is real. History records that, well, what would we say, 12 of the 13, ultimately, would die a martyr's death. You know, history has recorded that Peter was crucified kind of sideways or nearly upside down. He didn't want to, according to history now, this is not inspired, he didn't want to be crucified in the same way that Jesus had been crucified. Hebrews chapter 11, there at the end of the passage, begins to tell us that many have been sawed asunder and killed and tortured and maimed, and the world was not worthy of them. These great apostles, the world wasn't worthy of them. Ultimately, today, the preachers of peace, you know, you, kings and priests, world's not worthy of you. But we have a duty to go out and be persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. And that comes when we preach, happy are you, happiness that isn't what you're used to, submitting yourself to Jesus Christ and the Father God, submitting yourself to the will of the Spirit, following that testimony that you find there in, especially the New Testament. And so blessed when you are reviled and persecuted, and they say all manner of evil against you. You know, they found people to lie on Jesus. They have found people to lie on Paul. The only way that the devil has the ability to refute righteousness, the Word of God, is with lies and falsehoods. Because you cannot refute, literally cannot refute, the Word of God, because it is pure, it is holy, and it is perfect. And so the only tools that they have in their bag are lies. Persecution of the faithful. Loyal Christian soldiers, true patriots, are going to be persecuted. And so, you know, as that moment of self-reflection comes along, was it 2 Corinthians 13:5, is that right? Examine yourselves. Have you been persecuted lately? Have you thought about that? Anybody slam the phone? Well, I guess we don't use handsets anymore, but anybody ever hung up on you lately? Anybody made fun of you there in the cookie aisle at the grocery store? Calling you a water dog or a legalist or something? Slammed the door in your face as you tried to tell them the truth? No? Hadn't had that happen lately? Well, you got to ask yourself, and this is a good point for all of us, self included. Are you doing the work of the Lord? Because persecution will come. It's guaranteed. It's forecasted by the Holy Spirit here in His Word. Jesus said it's coming. He told His disciples as He sent them out two by two. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Look for the wolves, though they be wearing sheep's clothing. You see, persecution is coming. Persecution is coming. This great beatitude, it suggests some fantastic truths about Christ and his people. You see, there is a cost that needs to be counted. You know, as we have the ability to teach anyone the gospel of peace, one of the things we ask, even prior to baptism, is very simple. Is there anything that you can see in your future, you know, this foreseeable future, that's going to keep you from being a true Christian soldier? Mom and dad, spouse, work. I mean, think about it. What's going to keep you from being a true child of God? If you're made to work every single Sunday, you need to find another job. Need to find another job. Heaven is worth it. I guarantee it. Now, that doesn't include you preachers. Now, don't get the wrong idea. I've tried to get Saturdays and Sundays off for a long time, and I just can't seem to get You know what I'm saying. Guys, if you're being made to work every Sunday, every Wednesday, you need to find other work. Now, if you're volunteering to work every Sunday and every Wednesday, well, you need to repent. You need to change your mind about that, because God calls us to worship. Don't believe we can go to heaven without worshiping God. And no, that's not a daily process, as some have misinterpreted from Romans 12. It is something that takes place on the first day of the week. Now, if you do it at 9 o'clock at night, or whether you do it at 9 o'clock in the morning, that's up to you. But traditionally, we'll meet about 9 or 10 in the morning in most congregations of the Lord's people. Most of the world gets that. You can drive anywhere in the United States, and you know what you'll see on Sunday morning? You'll see buildings, even calling themselves churches, gathering on Sunday mornings. They understand the first day of the week and the importance of the first day of the week. But it's the rest that the majority of the world doesn't get. But, my friends, what a privilege it is to have the ability to worship him in spirit and in truth. Persecutions are coming. Don't allow them to keep you like the people of Hebrews. Don't allow the persecutions to keep you from worshiping the master of the universe in that great corporate assembly that he designed, called the church. The called out, the ecclesia, the people of God, called out of bondage, called into freedom, called out of darkness, called into light, called into servitude. Don't let persecution keep you from doing what you are called to do. Verse 13 begins this thought about influence. As you think about the manner, the characteristics that have just been outlined by Jesus about happy, prosperous living, he tells us, even in persecution, because this follows the verse on persecution and being reviled, here we let our lights shine. Influence is everything. Don't destroy your influence. We certainly don't need to be political on this particular program, but all the world is watching the United States right now. The folly that is coming from our capital. Our influence has been tarnished because of great mistakes, grave mistakes, even for the lives of 13 of our own. Influence can be tarnished. Don't let your Christian influence be tarnished. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing, therefore, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Good for nothing. Can you imagine approaching the judgment bar and being referred to as good for nothing? It's going to be a sad day for too many. Too many that have lived behind us. Too many that have lived before us. It's going to be a sad day when that great announcement comes. I never knew you. You're good for nothing. You are the salt. I think the great application is appropriate that we make out of Genesis 18. You know, as Abraham, I don't know what the right word is, but bargained, tried to make a deal with God, as it were, not to destroy those cities, knowing that his family was there. If there be 50, well, if there be 40, if there be 30, if there be 10. And again, each time God says, yes, if there is 50, if there is 40, if there is 30, etc., I will not destroy it. Now, take that and think about where you are today. And this is a great point to exit the program. It's 9:55. We're about out of time. It's quite possible. It's quite possible that the world is still standing today because of you. You thought about that? It's pretty powerful, isn't it? Kind of adjust our motivations. Creates an incentive to do better, doesn't it? The world might continue to stand tomorrow because of your influence. Because if there are 50, or if there are 40, 30, 20, or 10, that day of such an evil and reprehensible people, God says, I will not destroy that city. Could be that the world is still standing today because of your light shining. So keep up the good work. Love you guys, and we will try our very best, Lord willing, to pick up here again next week. Verse 13, 14, 15, and 16 ultimately are a capsule in and of themselves, worthy of great attention. So if the Lord allows us to be here next week, if he doesn't send his son in the time being to take us home to glory, then we will pick up there again next week. And so I take out my great big pen, and I'm marking the spot right here. You got it right here. So, love y'all very much. Appreciate you listening in today. And what a great text we've had to study as we go into our weekend, as we begin our Friday. And so I hope that in some form or fashion, I have helped with your mourning for the Master. Continue to let your light shine and glorify God above. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll, Lord willing, catch you next Friday. Have a great day.
Jesus.